Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. It is a good morning. We will all have a second of silence for the Detroit Lions. Yeah, it was a sad night for many people, but it was a heck of a run, people. So it was a good season in all. My name is Loretta Job. I'm a retired deacon who participates in all the ministries and missions here at this church with all of you great folks. This is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. We do that in a great variety of ways. If you've been here before, you've probably been noticing different things going on in the community room. Today we have some books that I think Pastor Lindsay's going to talk about out there as we look at more of our strategies, our long-term strategies here at the church for growth and to be more in line with God's plan for us. When you received your bulletin this morning, there was a huge handout in there. Hang on to that. You're going to hear about that during the sermon, but there was also that connection card. We would greatly appreciate it if you would take a moment to fill that out. Let us know you're here. Let us know how we can help connect you to things that are going on here at the church. And so please take a moment and do that. You'll also find yellow prayer cards in the pew backs. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please take a moment to fill one of those out. It will go to the prayer group as well as the clergy here, and prayers will be said on behalf of whatever it is your request is. This morning in worship, we have Suzanne Everett and Liz Hoover helping us with worship. We have the bells here as well, so some beautiful music for this morning. There is Sunday school and nursery if you have not already led your kids downstairs, or that's where you probably started and dropped them off. You know that they will be having a great time down there. I have a few announcements to make this morning. I know we try to keep them to three, so this is just a hair more, so hang in there with me. We have a prayer class coming up, Praying with Your Heart, Mind, Soul, and Strength. This is 6 weeks. You are going to be learning a whole number of ways of traditional prayers, plus some other ways of praying for loved ones, those we might have a challenge loving and praying. They're even going to talk a little bit about praying in your car. And those of us in Michigan probably do a lot of praying in our car. Eyes open prayer. We don't bow our heads when we pray in the car. That would be very dangerous. It will be meeting on Thursdays from 2 to 3:15, beginning February 6th. And you can contact Rick. He will be a great leader for this time of learning and prayer. New member class are coming up again. We'll be in March, the 2nd and the 9th. If you are interested in finding more about the faith of United Methodist, the traditions here, what being a part of this church means, this is the place for you. Pastor Lindsay will be leading this time together, and we look forward to having some new folks be a part of this congregation and welcome you through these classes. If you haven't already brought your socks in, I saw some coming in this morning. This is the final week, the big push for the sock drive. I don't know. I didn't hear if they had a goal for this 1,600. Oh, there it is. There it is. If you read Loretta, you'll find out. 1,600 socks. We can do that, people. Please take a moment. Stop by Kohl's, Costco, wherever. Buy a bundle and get them back here and help warm some feet this winter here in Livingston County. Also coming up, Monday is Martin Luther King holiday, and there are a number of activities here in the Livingston County area that you can participate in. There's a day of service from 1 to 4 at the Howell Library that's looking for volunteers to help package seeds. There's a living history presentation also at the Howell Library at 6:30 p.m. Space is limited, so you might want to either register or make sure you get there in time to find a seat. I'm sure they'll have some standing room only as well. And then also on Tuesday the 21st, there will be a Zoom meeting, Rhythms of Resilience and Change. Mr. Rodney Arroyo, a retired city planner, will share his research on Detroit's lost Black communities. If you've never done a tour of Detroit and know some of that history, it is fascinating to see where Detroit started and how it came to be as it is today. So a number of things brought to you for your consideration. And Suzanne Everett, who does all of our media and visual things, would love to have a picture of you if you decide to go to any of these activities or you are in service some other way on Martin Luther King Day. Please get a picture and submit it to Suzanne, and it will become part of our legacy here and through the archives. Those are all the announcements I have for this morning, so let us rise and join together in our opening hymn, number 430, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. Please rise.
Good morning, everyone. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, we humbly join together in worship, seeking a deeper relationship with you. Give us opportunities to know you. Give us friends to deepen our love for you. Guide us in how to better serve you. Be with us in this moment and lead us to your higher purpose. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Today we have readings from two different scriptures. The first is 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. And that verse ends with, Amen. The next reading is from Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, Let the children come to me and do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Liz, for reading the scripture readings for us this morning. My name is Lindsay Hall, and I'm one of the clergy that serves at the congregation here at our Brighton campus of First United Methodist Church. It is great to be with you in worship. I serve alongside Deacon Loretta and Pastor Lynn and my husband, Pastor John, and it is a great joy to welcome you to worship this morning, whether you have been worshiping with us for 70 years or this is the first time that you're worshiping with us. It is good to be with you in worship. And my heart goes out to all of the Lions fans out there that are disappointed about last night's game. You know, I'm so sorry about that. I missed the Lions game, and I feel like I'm not much of a sports person, but my heart goes out to everybody that was wishing for a different outcome. And, when a church member this morning said, but that's the Lions. Oh, we hope, and then that's the Lions. So sorry about that, guys. Sorry about that loss. But it is good to be with you in worship as we are continuing a sermon series on living our vision. So I would invite you to join me in prayer that we might gather for a moment and pause our hearts and minds. Let's pray together. Oh, good and gracious God, on this beautiful day that you have made, we rejoice, we are glad because you are good and you are God and you have given us breath in our lungs this morning to come and to worship and to praise you. And so, Lord, whatever brought us here this morning, whether it was a longing for spiritual growth or if it was a need for rest or renewal, or it was a deep yearning for connection with other followers on this journey of life and faith, or was just out of habit and curiosity to continue to learn more. We pray, Lord, that whatever brought us into the doors of this church or turned online or tuned in today, we pray, Lord, that you might meet us here. Meet us in our need for discovering and learning about you more. Meet us in that need as we hunger and thirst to grow in our faith and Lord of faith in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, as we worship, as we praise, as we hear scriptures, as we sing songs, may you rejuvenate our spirits so that we may go forth from this place with strength and energy, ready to share your love and shine your light and be your voice and hands and feet and presence in the world. To be Christ's hands here and now. Oh Lord, may you speak to me as we've heard these scriptures. May you speak to me and through me, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, God, you who are our rock and you who are our redeemer, and you, Lord, the one who call us your beautiful, beloved children of God. In Christ's holy name, amen. So last week, Pastor John started us off into a new sermon series. You can hear it. It's called Living Our Vision. And this week and next week, we're doing this three-part series where we're talking about what on earth is our vision? What are we doing here at First United Methodist Church? So if you're a visitor, if you're just checking us out, welcome. You're going to get a little chance to see kind of what our church congregation is all about. And for those who have been worshiping with us for a while and really call this your spiritual home, now's also a chance to kind of continue to hear about living our vision and where our plans are at and what we believe God is leading us to next. And so I'm glad that you're here to be able to share a little bit. So last spring, we were getting together some listening sessions. We knew that we wanted to turn the corner and say it's time for writing and crafting that next three-year strategic plan before us. And so we gathered. This process took place where we gathered in person here at the church campus, and we gathered in person at our Whitmore Lake campus, and we gathered online for some listening sessions, and we invited your feedback through some written information or for some table time sharing and feedback. And we wanted to listen. We wanted to hear how God has been moving in your life. We wanted to hear what were maybe your hopes and dreams for the future. We wanted just to listen to your stories, to hear what helps you grow in your faith. What are those opportunities and those things that our church is doing that help connect you to God and service with one another? But what are those opportunities that we're not quite hitting the mark yet? And we listened. That was May. That was June. Back when the sun was shining and the weather was warm and the birds were chirping, it was not like January. But that was May and June. We gathered and we took that information. And then a great strategic planning team came together, and we took all this information that we heard from the congregation, and we dissected it, and we played with it. And I see folks around the worship service this morning that were part of that team, right, Pastor Bob? And we sat around, and we listened, and we culled through the data, and we heard the stories and the opportunities. And we bathed it in prayer, and as a very Holy Spirit listening, discerning process over the summertime. And our team came to put together six strategic priorities, six strategic initiatives, six goals that we'd want to lean into. And part of our strategic plan, there were six different initiatives, and I'm speaking to a couple of them this morning. One of those things was to help grow in biblical literacy and theological formation across all of the ages. Doesn't that sound like a great seminary student phrase? To help you grow in biblical literacy and theological formation across all ages. What does that mean? Well, when we were looking through the data, when we were looking through the information, we kept hearing great feedback and great stories of people saying, I'm curious about the Bible, and I want to learn more about Scripture. Or I'm just not really knowing where to start. Or is there a small group that I could get a part of and join? I wish there were some more opportunities for classes. Or I'd like to learn more about prayer. I'd like just to grow in my knowledge and love of God. So when we think about what one of those strategic initiatives that we're focusing on now, this year especially, is to help you grow in your biblical literacy, right? Help you grow in your ability to open up the Bible and to understand it, to connect with it, to open up the Scripture pages, to read those stories. We want to help you grow and become more biblically literate. And we want to help you grow in your theological formation, right? So that be able to help you grow in having those conversations of faith and talking about God and growing and talking about Jesus. So our leadership board said yes and blessed these strategic priorities that we had placed. And then the little task forces got to work. We're Methodists. We love to do everything with a method and an organizational process, right? And so this group got together. It was chaired by Pam Comer. And this fall and this winter, our group got together and said, okay, so we know our goal before us is to help the congregation grow in biblical literacy and theological formation, but how do we go about that? And so we chewed on it. We talked and we conversed. We started sharing our own stories around the table. How is it that you learn about Jesus? What helps you grow in your faith? What are those ways that could be helpful perhaps to others? And I shared with our group as we gathered, I said, you know, it kind of dawns on me that there's so many different ways to grow in faith. There's not necessarily a right or wrong way. Kind of is like there's so many different ways to grow in your physical fitness. There's not a right or wrong way. This time of year, as we're making those New Year's resolutions, about 70% of people that make New Year's resolutions make something around health and wellness. And so we know there's all sorts of great ways to get physically healthy and to get physically fit. Some people love to go for a great walk outdoors, or you like to head out to Mount Brighton and go skiing down the slopes, or in the summertime you get your kayak out and you kayak the Lake Michigan, or other people are yogis out there that love to do yoga and chair yoga, and other people, maybe you like to go to the gym and work out and, you know, pump some iron. There's lots of different ways to grow in your physical fitness. And pickleball has become like all the rage, and bowling leagues are always popular. You get the point. There's not really a right or wrong, one-size-fits-all way to exercise. Because if you were to say the only proper way to exercise is to run a half marathon every year, most of us would be out, right? But the point is, there's lots of ways to stay physically fit, to care for our bodies. Take a stroll, pick up a kayak, ski down Mount Brighton. And as our group was talking, I said, you know, so there's all these different ways to grow physically fit. Maybe there's a variety of ways for us to grow in our spiritual fitness as well. We began talking. And some people share that they connect with God out in nature. Other people connect with God by taking on the challenge of reading through like the whole Bible in a year. Wow, what a challenge. Other people really connect with God by coming to worship or being a part of a prayer group. And yet other people really love connecting with God, and they feel like they've never felt closer to God, they've never felt closer to their Savior Jesus Christ than by putting on work gloves and their work boots and putting on their tool belt and getting to work in that way and serving people. So many different ways to grow. So our group was then tasked to say, well, maybe there's not a right or a wrong way to grow in your spiritual health, but we're tasked with this project of helping the congregation, so we've got to do something. What could that be? There's got to be a method. We're Methodists, after all. So we talked and we decided that maybe there's tools and resources we can put in your hands. Ways so that when you're at home and individually as a person, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you could have those personal tools a little bit more in your tool belt to help you grow individually as a disciple. But then what are those ways in which we could grow in community? Grow when we're in the building or on the Zoom screen together. And we began to decide that having tools for individual growth and in community was going to be really, really important. And we talked and we decided that coming up with a discipleship pathway could provide some guidance. So this is where you're able to pull out this big, beautiful insert in your bulletin, where that comes from. And task before us was to consider, what are some ways that we can help you grow? How can we create some type of pathway, knowing that it's not the only way, but some guidance if you're looking for it? What are some stepping stones? What is a kind of a road map that we could suggest before you to really help you know God and love God and serve God? And as you begin to look at this, our group was talking and discerning, and we thought, well, worship. Can we grow together in our faith and love of Jesus Christ through worship? Absolutely. Can we learn together through classes and studying God's word? What about serving people and using our spiritual gifts? How about growing together in our stewardship and our giving and our generosity? What about inviting people to know Jesus or inviting people to church activities? What about growing in faith through prayer and growing just knowing that you belong here? So you can see as you flip open and you look on the back, you can begin to tease out, and I won't walk you through the whole thing, but this is what you get to do later today or this week, is you get to read through. And you read it kind of like a little bit of a, where do I find myself on the page at this moment in time? From left to right, you'll notice that there's these categories, one called exploring faith, and there's a description there, and maybe that fits your experience, and then it gives some next step suggestions so that you can grow into that next category of growing in faith. And maybe you read that, and there's some next step suggestions, and then you can move on to that next category of leading in faith, and maybe you'll find yourself kind of all over the map on these seven different pieces of discipleship. Kind of a resource, kind of an inventory to say, where am I, and if I'm interested in growing in faith, where could I go, and how could I grow to that next stepping stone with Christ? Knowing it's not the only way, but hopefully this is a helpful way to think, if I really want to grow more engaging in Scripture, where do I begin? or if I'm really curious about prayer, but I don't know, is there like a certain way that I'm supposed to pray? Maybe join the prayer class, for example. Or if putting yourself out there because you've never really taken time to take a spiritual gifts class and think about which ways could I serve, maybe it's time to consider stepping up in service. So our hope is that maybe you can go through today or this week and kind of think about where you're at and challenge yourself to grow in the journey this year in one way. Maybe when you look back a year from now, you'll see a little bit of growth or guidance, or maybe you'll discover how it was helpful. There's lots of stories in Scripture about Jesus walking. I think Jesus' spiritual discipline was doing a lot of walking. I think Jesus must have been pretty physically fit himself, because it feels like when you open up the Gospels, Jesus is always going from town to town, and he would have walked here and there. And we come to one story this morning that I want to share with you, and it's there's two disciples on a path, on a journey, on a road with Jesus. It's this Walk to Emmaus scripture that I'm going to have us take a look at. And if you'd like to open up your Bible or open up a Bible online, you can look it up. It's found from Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter there, verses 13 through 35. And we're going to get a story about a path, about a pathway, about a journey. Let's take a listen. I also want to say that the context of this is that it's Easter morning, and Jesus has died, and he is resurrected, and the disciples have heard that women went and visited the tomb and discovered Jesus wasn't there. And within this context, people are trying to make sense of all of what's happening on Easter morning, that first Easter morning. And so we discover Cleopas and an unnamed disciple trying to make sense of what they've heard of this news. So keep that in mind as we lean now into the scripture. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. See, you can walk. It's a great exercise. About 7 miles, they're taking the 7 mile, this walk from Jerusalem. And walking, talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "Well, what are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in word and deed before God and all of the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And yes, besides all this, why, it is now the third day since these things took place. And moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, there they came back and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found just as the women had said it, but they didn't see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all of the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead of them as if he were going on. But then they urged him, saying, "Oh, stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. And he was at the table with them. And he took bread and he blessed it and broke it and he gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Well, were our hearts not burning within us while we were talking to us on the road, and while he was opening the scriptures to us?" In that same hour, they got up and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were saying to them, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on that road and how he had made himself known to them in the breaking of the bread. As Jesus encountered Cleopas and this unnamed disciple, as he's walking with them, at first they didn't recognize him. And at first, those two disciples, all they could do was put one foot in front of the other, walking down this road, down this seven-mile journey to Emmaus, just trying their best to make sense of all that they had experienced and all they had heard about and all they had encountered in those recent days. And they're trying just to put one foot in front of the other, trying to make sense out of life. Just trying their best to make sense out of faith as they're walking this pathway. And as they're walking and they're discussing and they're conversing, wouldn't you know it, Jesus was with them the whole time. They invite him in for this moment of hospitality and they break bread and they realize that in the sharing of meal and the breaking of bread, oh, yes, we remember. We remember. Whether it was the Last Supper, Passover, which they would have called it, right? But we know it as the Last Supper, that he broke bread with us, they would have remembered. Or, oh, we remember all the times that Jesus shared bread and feeding of 5,000. We remember and we remember and we get it now. In those moments of walking the pathway of life and faith, thank goodness they had each other. And while they walked, Jesus was there all along. What's my point? You're invited into a life of discipleship where whether the pathway seems incredibly clear or incredibly blurred, you're welcome to walk this journey. And you're invited into this life of discipleship, you're invited to join in this journey, this pathway with other disciples that too are going to join with you, just trying to put one foot in front of the other, doing their best to live life in faith, knowing that we get to be companions on the journey together. And in seeking to do that, in seeking to love and to support one another, in seeking to follow this path when sometimes it meanders and sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it's clear and sometimes it's nothing but confusion, we're going to discover the living God, the resurrected Christ in our midst. And we're going to discover that even when we feel like we can't understand it, we're going to discover that Jesus is right there walking with us. So maybe your walk with Jesus is going really smooth and you're like, cool, Pastor, I'm good. I read through the Bible every day, every year. Cool, that's awesome. But maybe if you're looking for some suggestions for what could I do next, perhaps this could be a resource and a suggestion, knowing it's not the only way. But maybe this could be helpful to help you grow more physically or spiritually fit alongside this time of year where we're trying to grow more physically fit. May you be blessed on this journey with Jesus, and may you know that no matter where you walk or where you go, Jesus is there. Amen.
Thank you. What a treat. This is the time of worship where we pray together, collectively, for our needs. It's when we confess, when we've fallen short of God's will for us, and we seek God's guidance for those days ahead, and the guidance for how we might find ourselves on the discipleship path. We also pray over these beautiful prayer quilts, which today we have three, for Shirley H., for Andy Warner, and Rufus Scott. So as you leave this space, the quilts will be on the table outside the doors here, and you'll stop and tie a knot and say a prayer and sign their cards so that Andy and Rufus and Shirley know that we have prayed for them and are continue to care for them in this way. So now I invite you to settle in, take a deep breath, center ourselves, and take a posture consistent with your prayer practice as we invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Let's pray. Holy God, you created people in your image, and yet we often sit and wonder what you look like, how to get to know you, and what it means to live as followers of Jesus. We pray this morning that you would begin to open our eyes and hearts to how you move in the world, how you show up in the people around us. Help us to see the Creator in all your children. Help us to be your palette, an expression of your Holy Spirit in the world today. May people look at us and see your goodness, your love, your desire for justice and reconciliation in a world that seems full of violence, inequity, hardship, and loss. And yet we offer you thanks. Thanks for the blessings in our lives. Everything we have is fleeting, but your love lasts forever. Most of us sit here this morning in warmth and comfort, while many are cold and without shelter. May our prayers move us and inspire us to actions that allow us to be your hands and feet in the world. And with that stance, with that thought in mind, we pray now for those who have lost or fled their homes due to fires, war, violence, or financial struggle. We pray for refugees around the world that they may be sheltered and shown your love. We pray for Shirley and Andy and Rufus that these prayer quilts will be a physical representation of our prayers for their healing and strength and comfort. We pray for folks near and far who struggle, whether with physical or mental illness, addiction, grief, or uncertainty. We pray for direction on how to respond to systems that continue to marginalize and oppress your children. We pray for our hearts to be open, to listen for your voice over the loud chaos that often bombards us throughout the day. And loving God, we take a moment right now in the silence to pour out the concerns on our hearts and to listen in the stillness for you. Lord, hear our prayer. Now let us lift our voices together to share the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This time I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward as we prepare for this morning's offerings. I can't help but think about the pictures that we've seen on the television of the destruction, and how blessed we are here to gather this morning, that we can lean on each other, that we can know each other's sorrows and care for each other. This church is an amazing faith community that allows us to not just be the light for each other, but the light of God for those in this community and beyond. So we thank you for your generosity. If you are a visitor here this morning, know that your presence is a gift enough for us this morning, and we appreciate your choice to be with us this morning in worship. Please, if you are a generous giver, we thank you again for your generosity.
Lord, we thank you for the many ways you bless us. Please accept the offerings we bring. Use them in ministries of your church to lift up disciples of all ages. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Dear church, I pray that as you leave this time of worship, that you will take a moment to read a little bit further and think about where you might want to grow. And if you're looking for some ideas, if you're needing some tangible resources, I would invite you when you walk out of the sanctuary. You're going to be greeted by Julie and Cora and Mike just into the community room, and they're standing there by a table of different books and different resources, both for kids and adults. And maybe you'd like to take a look, and they also have a few digital resources to suggest. Whether it's Amplify Media, that you can watch a variety of pastors and preachers and theologians, and it's kind of like Christian Netflix, United Methodist Netflix, if you want to download that, or a great resource that I found recently called Lectio 365. Lectio 365 helps you pray and read scripture on a daily basis, and it comes out of the Church of England, so you also get to listen with these beautiful English accents. I love it. Or if you need help finding a Bible app where you can scroll through and read scripture in thousands of different translations with different reading plans. Cora and Mike and Julie, and I think I see Pam out there, want to help you. Won't you stop by? Go forth with the love of God in your hearts, the peace of Jesus always with you, and the power of the Holy Spirit to go forth and serve in Christ's name. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.